I want to talk about dinner. I know some of you missed breakfast because you were racing to get here because you overslept. And I know some of you are thinking about lunch and you hope that the line's not too long where you're going or the roast doesn't burn in the oven. But I want to talk about dinner. Actually, I want to talk about specific meals. I grew up in one of those homes where we sat at the table and mom put kettles, pots and pans, on the middle of the table, and we served ourselves out of that, or, well, actually, she served us out of there because we weren't trusted. The reason the pots and pans were on the table, my dad was a pragmatist. He says, fewer dishes to clean. We already have those dirty. And ours was a quiet table. Occasionally, you heard pass the salt, and after a while, that went away, too, because dad created a lazy Susan that he drilled a hole in the table and mounted, and you could just spin it and get it without talking. And pretty much the only other things we heard were chew before you swallow, young man. And we had to do that because some of the meals were just unpalatable. And my mom wasn't the greatest cook in the world, and she has a couple dishes. We kind of grew up poor, and so we did what we could. And there were a couple dishes that I found that you just swallow it without chewing. It went down better. And my one sister didn't get that, and I remember long evenings her sitting there with a plate of congealed bacala, which I don't care where you get it, if it's not hot, it doesn't go down. Anyway, that was kind of my home. And then, in my town, we didn't eat a lot in each other's homes other than for Italian feasts, and that was just a buffet type thing. But I was introduced to a different kind of dinner experience when I met my wife, and my girlfriend at that point. She took me home to a meal, and I thought this meal was going to be the end of our relationship because it was total culture shock. Because not only did they not talk at the table, they replaced it with other things like yelling and screaming at each other. And it was quite violent, at least in my little sheltered world. The conversation was about like home life, and they talked about the Bible, and I had always thought the Bible was talked about this level, except for the preacher. He was allowed to get loud. But the rest of us just had to have a respectful voice, and they screamed at each other because they were all going to different Bible colleges, and their theology, each other thought the others were wrong, and oh my goodness, and mom would get it calmed down, and then Bobby, the one brother, he would start it up again by whispering something to stir up one of them. And so this was kind of the dinner at their place. We survived, and she still talks louder than I do at the dinner table, and it's okay. And I realized that there are all these other kinds of homes where you have a different system. We all have a system. I grew up with a system. Carol grew up with a system. Carol and I have created a system. Whatever I put on the table, she eats. But some of you have different kinds of systems because you have crazy family. I don't know you personally to make that kind of a, but you live crazy lives. I mean, you're coming and going, and now this year it's going to be compromised with computers on the table and on the sofa and on the floor. You know, it's just going to be a nightmare. And some of you will, your meal system is, it's in the crock pot. Scoop it when you're ready to eat and just throw your dishes in the sink and we'll throw them away later if they get all congealed and stuff. But we have different systems. And even when we go to the Bible, there are some things that are just different too. And I want to eavesdrop a little bit this morning in Mark. Mark chapter 14. We've come through the life of Jesus, if you're thinking through it chronologically, and we're at the Passover week, and this is a very special meal. And I'm going to just read the passage to you. I'm going to pick up in Mark 14, beginning at verse 12, and I'm just going to kind of read it to you. It speaks for itself, and then I want to talk a little bit about their table, then I want to talk a little bit about a different table for us this morning. This is what Mark wrote as he recorded, and he probably wasn't there, and so we're pretty sure he got his information from Peter. Verse 12, on the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" And he sent two of the disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room? where I may eat the Passover with my disciples. And he will show you a large room upstairs, and it's furnished and ready. Make the preparations for us there. And the disciples left, and they went into the city, and they found things just as Jesus had told them, and so they prepared the Passover. And when evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12, and while they were reclining at the table eating, he said, "Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." That never happened at my dinner table in my home, never. And they were saddened, and one by one they said to him, "Surely you don't mean me." "It was one of the 12," he replied, so he did mean one of them. "One who dips bread into the bowl with me, and the Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." And while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, this is my body." And then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "And this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "Truly, I tell you, I'll not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, they all went out to the local restaurant. They all went out to the Mount of Olives. So they have a system. And for this particular one, Jesus has sent his disciples, and he said, "Go prepare." And they did. I mean, the man with the water jug and in the upper room, he had the furniture and stuff was there, but they brought the meal, and you know, they had to procure a lamb that had to be slaughtered the right way, and they had to have it just the right way. There would have been other food that would have been on the table, and they needed to gather that. So this is all prepared, and then the guests would start arriving. And I don't know, in your home, if you have some kind of procedure when guests arrive. Usually at our place, we hook you up with a beverage, and we kind of tell you that's the last time we'll serve you, and you have to get your own beverage after that. And that used to make Carol's mom just crazy. She thought we were heathen. But we figured if you knew where stuff was, you could just take care of it yourself. But that was the point at which everything kind of fell apart, because in their homes, and I'm pretty sure not in your homes, everybody who came in had their feet washed. Now, the reason for that was they didn't have macadam, they didn't have concrete, and they walked around with open-toed shoes mostly, or barefoot. And so when they came into somebody's house, a servant had been appointed, would be at the door with water and towels, and they would have washed and dried their feet before they came into the house. And, well, this, ladies, you would have never forgotten this, but a group of guys, they totally forgot that. And so Jesus ended up washing feet, because the 12 were just looking around going, "Well, somebody's got to do this." And Jesus said, "Okay, I'll do it." But it was a lesson for them, and it was part of that whole feast that they were having. And it was Passover. And it would have been a table set for dining and for worship. Now, we don't often eat that way where our meal is going to be worship. But everything on the table was symbolic. And there were glasses, very special glasses. Take this one, for instance. This was the first glass. And this would have begun the telling of the story of the Jewish people as they were rescued. And this would have lined with a passage of scripture which would have said, "I will take you out. I'll take you out of the land." And as we think about it, this is the cup of sanctification. Then there was a second cup. I think it was this one. God was saying to the Israelites, and he actually says it to us, I will save you. Cup of deliverance. Then there was the third cup, God said to Israel, and he says to you and me, he says, "I will redeem you." It's the cup of redemption. And then the final cup, I'm mistaken, this is so different than the other one, says, "I will take you as a nation." Now that changes a little bit for us, because he says, "I will take you as a people, my people." And we'll be people out of every nation. And this is a cup of acceptance, or sometimes it's the cup of praise. And so the table would have been set for them, and there would have been a system. They would have told the story. They would have drunk out of the certain cups. They would have shared things. Obviously, this is pre-COVID for them. And they would have eaten out of the same dishes. They would have, you know, taken their bread and scooped out of the dish. You can't touch this. This is all mine now because I touched it all. But what Jesus did as this meal progressed is he set a different table. A table that we've come to know as the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table, communion, or Eucharist. That's one of those weird words we don't toss around a lot, but it means Thanksgiving. And as we're partaking of the elements, and I'm trusting you, I was watching, no one got up, I didn't laugh. Trusting you all have your elements, and I know our live stream people, they've run around, and they've got like milk in a glass and some soup crackers or whatever they're gonna do, and that's cool. And we have these little cups. Just an aside, please don't squeeze it. You will be embarrassed, because we'll know. But Jesus was going to take this table, and he was going to lift two things off the table and set a different table. He would have taken what was basically their silverware, because this is how they would have picked up stuff. They would have just reached in and scooped it and eaten it. But he's going to give this bread a different purpose. And then, I don't think he had to look like I did, and actually I don't either, because you can probably see it from there. The third cup, the cup of redemption. Body, blood. And you're going to hear about this from Pastors Gary and Pastor Dale as they lead us in communion. But this is important for us to catch this. Now let me tell you about our table. This is nothing like what theirs is. It would have been lower. They would have been on pillows. But this was their table. Now, ours is an open table. And by open table, we mean if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, this is for you this morning. Now, there's some fine print. You need to be able to come clean. That's our title this morning, Come Clean. That means you need to confess your sins, because we don't want to be casual or careless when we do this. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, and he said, your carelessness has caused some of you to be sick. Others have died. We don't want that here. And so we're going to give you time. The band is going to play. And we're going to give you time to pray, to confess your sins. And if you get to the point where it's the time to partake, and you're like, I can't fix this before communion, this is a really good day not to take communion. And I'd be glad to meet with you one-on-one or with a family to do communion later. Or maybe you need to get up and walk across the room and apologize to somebody. And maybe that's how you need to fix what's keeping you from being able to come to the table. So ours is an open table. Ours is also a cleansing place. We don't often think about that, but just think how clean your soul is after you've confessed all your sins. You know, if we do communion right, there's only one other moment in our lives where we're as clean as we can be at communion, and that was that first time we confessed all our sins and we asked Jesus to be our Savior, to rescue us, to redeem us. You see, it all ties together. We're picturing what Jesus did, but we're also remembering what he did in us. And so our table is a cleansing place. It's also a meeting place. We get to meet with one another. We're doing this together. It's a corporate experience, though it's very, very personal. I can't do it for Jim or Joe. They have to do it themselves. But we're going to do it together because we're identified with one another. But we're also going to meet. We're going to meet with the Holy Spirit. And he already dwells within us. And I won't do a raise of hands. How many think of the Holy Spirit on and off through the week? Most of us don't. But we ought to. He goes with us everywhere we go. Even in those moments where we're thinking no one's looking, he's there with us. And so we're going to meet with him this morning. He's going to remind us of the sins that we need to confess. We're going to meet with Jesus, with the bread and with the cup. We're going to meet with him. These symbolize him and specifically what he did for us. And we're also going to meet with the Father, our worship. This is worship. This is worship too. This is worship too. The words we just read, that's worship. Just sitting there absorbing the word of God can be worship. Because worship is a response. It's not singing, because you can sing your heart out and not worship at all. And it's not going and doing the sermon, because you need to do it for the right reason. We're responding. And our worship experience here around the table it's in space right here, this space, in time. We're doing it right now. And I would love to think for myself and for each of you that it would go with us, at least out of the parking lot, before we lose the buzz. And I don't mean that sacrilegiously, but there's something that happens in our soul when we get that close to God. And we're somehow altered. And so I'm going to pray for us. The band's going to come, and they're going to lead us in song, and you can sing, and maybe you can't sing because maybe you've got some work you need to do. And then Pastor Gary's going to come. Do not eat my bread, Gary. I touched it. But he's going to help us with our cups, and I'm going to say it, and he's going to say it, but we really want you to be careful with those cups. There's a little cellophane wrapper on the top. That's how you get out that amazing piece of bread. It blows up into a roll when you pop it open. Might stick to the roof of your mouth. And I'm going to do something that you're probably never going to hear from me again until COVID's over. I need you to take your masks off. Because you're going to be so embarrassed when you jam your fingers in and shove the mask into your mouth. And you also can't get the cup to your lips. So when it comes time for communion, I'm going to have you keep mine for the song. But when it comes time for communion, you need to do that. We good? Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you. And we're thankful for so many things this morning. We're thankful for all the teachers that are in this room, for the school officials and others that are involved with teaching. Oh my goodness, our homeschool parents who are teachers who now have to deal with yet another layer with that. We're thankful that you've drawn us all together here this morning. We thank you for the way you meet our needs. We thank you for the gift of Jesus. And Jesus, we thank you for the gift of your life. And Spirit, we thank you for the gift of his life in us. We pray that you would come upon us this morning for soul cleansing. We all came in here dirty. We live in a dirty world. But sadly, we behave like the dirty world too often. And so help us identify and confess. We want to come clean with you. We also want you to touch our broken places, those wounds that we carry around, and perhaps begin some kind of healing there as well. Maybe it's a daddy wound. Maybe it's a broken relationship. Maybe it's I'm just going down for the third time and I don't even know who to ask for help. But we're wounded. We pray for healing this morning. Maybe you'll give us boldness to turn to the person next to us and just say, help. We're here together. We'll sort it out. And we pray that you would fill us with your presence. Well, I know you're here, but sometimes our souls just don't feel it. And I pray that you would invade the space of our hearts and empower us, because we need that kind of power when we leave this room. Do these things in us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.